Good morning. I'm excited. We're going to be in Matthew this morning. Matthew. And Matthew chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 23. All right. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it encourages us, lifts us up. It reminds us of who we really are in Christ. It also corrects us and disciplines us. Lord, it gives us life. It promises us a future with you. Lord, we lift up the military right now in Jesus' name. They're all around the world that we have a tendency to forget sometimes. Lord, we lift them up. We ask you that you'll keep them safe, protect them. As always, Father, we pray for our missionary brothers and sisters around the world and all the crazy places that need our prayers, our support. Father, we lift them up too. Father, we come together and we lift up our country during this time of getting ready to vote for the leader. We trust you, Lord, that you will provide the leader that you want. So I pray for all the leaders from the top to the bottom. Pray for our country. Pray for this time we have together. Thank you, Lord. Pray for all of our family, our church family. Visiting family, some are staying home, that's okay. Some are traveling. We're just praying that you'll give them what they need. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. That sounds all official, don't it? You may be seated. Everybody okay? Kind of quiet. Good to see everyone. Hey, guys. Yeah, you're on road. That's awesome. All right, so Matthew 1:23. Now, I've kind of gave this message the name Emmanuel. God is with us. So let's take a look at that. It says, I had to put my glasses back on. I really couldn't see. And, I tried to force it and fake it for a week. Lynn will tell you that was kind of comical. I'm tired of wearing these glasses. I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. You see where rebellion gets you, right? It gets you. Defiance, rebellion, denial, you know. I could teach a whole hour on that one, but we'll let that go. Let's talk about Jesus. Everybody okay? Talk about Jesus? All right. In all the history, I really can't think of a more wonderful, powerful event than the birth of Christ. And as I was working on this message this week, I kept thinking, oh, I should save this for Christmas, you know. But I can't. I just got to do what the Lord's telling me to do. But the birth of Christ, this is the amazing, wonderful event, you know. Mainly because of what we just read in the Scripture, the name that was ascribed to him, which is Emmanuel, which we all know means God with us. Now, this is we call this the incarnation. It's God becoming man. It's deity being poured into humanity. Okay, this is a very powerful, precious thing. The theological word for that is, and I had to look this one up there, the theological word for this incarnation where God's becoming man is called the hypostatic union. Now, say that three times. The hypostatic union. That's what it's actually called in theology. It's where two natures in one person that's can be unmixed. It's forever. It's like two things mixed together that's forever and it can't change. It's fully God, fully man, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this was prophesied. We all know this was prophesied many, many times. But a long, long time ago, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6a, says, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now look at this. Now, the son would be given because the son existed before the birth of the child. Okay? But the child would be born because a son would become a man. And he would live a sinless life. He would die on the cross, and he would be raised from the grave. And it's as we read about the virgin birth, it's awesome to hear. It's so powerful to hear how God, the Holy Spirit, fertilized the egg of the Virgin Mary so that in history came the person of Jesus Christ. And this person being God and man. Guys, this is the foundation of our Christian belief. It's the foundation of the doctrine of Christianity. It's the virgin birth, the incarnation where God becomes man, and it's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's everything in the Christian belief. Virgin birth, incarnation, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, when we talk about young Jesus, baby Jesus, young Jesus, teenage Jesus, on the one hand, he had to learn because he was a man. And on the other hand, he had full knowledge because he was God. This is a very unique, one-time ever situation. On the one hand, he's a crying baby laying in a manger. And on the other hand, because he created everything, right? On the other hand, you know, he created the mother. He created the wood or whatever the manger was really made of. He created that. He created the animals that were around. He created the stars. He created even the shepherds that came up to visit. And yet he was also the baby laying in the manger crying. Isaiah 7:14 says it in real practical terms. Isaiah 7:14 says that God would be with us and he would be a mighty counselor. Now, most of us look to someone to get advice from. Whether it's a parent or a friend or, you know, pastor, preacher, counselor or something like that. But no one can give advice like Jesus. And when Jesus gives us advice, we can count on it. When he gives us advice through his word, we can take it to the bank. And not only can he give us perfect advice, because he's Emmanuel, God with us, he gives us the power to do what he tells us to do. Amen. Jesus is not limited by time because he is the everlasting Father. He is the beginning and the end. He is Emmanuel. His advice produces peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. He will bring calm into our chaos. Whatever's going on in our life, if we invite Christ into that chaos, he can bring calmness. When we try to handle it on our own, with our own knowledge and our own power, most of the time that ends up in stress and worry and complications. So to have God with us, like the scripture is telling us, is to have deity in humanity. Available to every man who becomes a believer in Christ. Because to come to Christ, to have incarnation operating inside of us. This is the beauty of this. It's operating this incarnation, Christ, God, all together, operating in our life, in our situations that we may be going through. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is like the supernatural that's entered into the natural. We talked a little bit about this last week. And the natural now has availability of the supernatural. because of Christ living inside of us. Jesus was born both God and man. And now he lives inside of us if we're believers. I'm assuming most everyone here is. That's why sometimes we feel like we want to worship him. We want to magnify his name. See, guys, really, and I'm not disrespecting here at all, but really, in Jesus Christ, God took a selfie. Preachers couldn't preach that 20 years ago. But really, God took a selfie in Jesus Christ. God wanted man to see what he was like. So in the person of Christ, the God-man, man could see God in human form. To me, this is really, really awesome. It's cool. That's why in John 14, when Philip raised the issue, he said, "When are we going to see the Father?" You remember this, right? When are we going to see the Father? Philip's like, "We've seen you, and that's all great and everything, but when are we going to see the big guy, so to speak?" And I really think, you know, Jesus got a little frustrated with him here. You know, that's what Jesus told Philip. He said, "I've been with you this long, and you still don't get the message." It's like he was saying, "Man, you've watched me, you've listened to me, you've hung out with me, you talked with me, you've said, and you still don't get it." Anybody don't think I can see Jesus is getting, "Oh, come on." And then Jesus got really, just real frank with him. Got real straightforward, just told him exactly what he needed to hear. It's what we need to hear too. And Jesus said, "When you see me, you've seen the Father." I mean, how simple is that? He finally told Philip, he said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In Hebrews 1:3, he says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. That's real clear. In that first chapter, you have God the Father calling Jesus God. And why? Because he's the second person of the Trinity. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he's the second person of the Trinity. And Jesus wanted to walk among men. He wanted to feel what we feel. He wanted to experience what we experience. He wanted to go through some things that we've been through. In fact, the Bible says that he is tested. He was tested in all manner like any other person was tested, and yet he did not sin. Yes, he was a perfect man. And yes, he was also just a man. But he was also just God. Not just God, but he was also God. He was also just a man. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to suffer. He experienced all the emotions. He got angry, tumbled over tables. He got sad when he looked out at the people that were lost. I'm sure he got happy and he laughed and joked. He got irritated, agitated several times. You can see it in the scriptures. Jesus went through all the different emotions that we go through. He was tempted. We know the story, right? And Jesus even had to die. But praise the Lord, he came up out of that grave on the third day. Amen? That is the uniqueness of this one of a kind Savior. That's the uniqueness of Christ. Now, another example is when Nathanael was brought before Jesus in John 1 by Philip. Nathanael was introduced to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Behold, an Israelite who has no guile." And that word guile, we've talked about that before, that word guile means cunningness, you know, craftiness and cunning and sly and slick, you know. There's Jesus saying, this guy, Nathanael, didn't have any of that in him. In other words, Nathanael was an upright man of character, full of integrity. I think I've talked about that before, how, man, that would be awesome for Jesus to tell you, "Man, Adam, you're a man of integrity. Proud of you." That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Well, he is, actually. He is proud of you. Jesus told Nathanael also, he said, because he believed in the Son of Man, he said he would see him coming up and down, right, a ladder from earth to heaven. It said in Scripture. And I believe also that because he's Emmanuel, he's God with us, God can see in the future, and we'll, you know, how that was going to happen. Okay? He even told Nathanael that he would see greater things. He would see even greater things. And what happened? A little while longer, in John chapter 2, he saw Jesus, they saw Jesus turn water into wine. Because he was God, he knew all this was going to happen. They saw a supernatural miracle because they believed in the incarnate Son of God. When we really think about Jesus as Emmanuel, we really think about this. You know, this is God with us. What does it really make want us to do? Celebrate him. Lift up his name. Honor him. I mean, we celebrate finite, sinful people all the time that have accomplished nothing but just earthly accomplishments, really. We do it all the time. Rock stars, movie stars, don't we? Pro athletes. I'm pretty much done with them, but we do it all the time. Nobody has been like Jesus Christ. No one has ever done what he done. No one has ever lived a perfect life. He was also called the only begotten Son of God. Which, what that means is, one of a kind. One of a kind. No one has ever been like Jesus. No one will ever be like Jesus. Because no one will ever be able to say or be called Emmanuel, God with us. So, as a result of that, he, Jesus, is your personal link to glory, to heaven. Jesus is your personal link to the Father. God has placed everything in his incarnate Son. Now, I'll share something with you I think is beautiful. When you live by faith, you walk by faith, Jesus becomes your supernatural emulsifier. I like sandwiches. Like them a little too much, maybe. But when I eat a sandwich, I like mayonnaise on it. Anybody? Okay? I joke around a lot about how Duke's mayonnaise will change your life. But I like Duke's mayonnaise, you know. Mayonnaise is basically made up of oil and water. But we all know that oil and water don't get along. They can't mix. So oil and water need to be emulsified. An emulsifier is something introduced to two things that can't naturally bond in order to bring them together. Everybody with me? I'm talking a lot of cooks here. So in order to, you know, get my mayonnaise to taste good and be on my sandwich, an egg has to be introduced to the oil and water. The egg pulls them together. The egg grabs the water and the egg grabs the oil and begins to pull them together. And when all that happens, a few other little things too, but when all that happens, I end up with delicious mayo on my BLT. That sounds good on a BLT. And that's what happens. You see, a perfect God and sinful man cannot naturally mix unless an emulsifier is introduced to the equation. So guess what? Jesus is humanity's emulsifier. He connects a perfect God, and he connects sinful man, and he brings the two together. It's the only way we could ever go to heaven, any of us. Because he is fully God and fully man. As fully God, he brings perfection. As fully man, he brings humanity. Y'all see this? And because he is the sinless man, having sacrificed himself for sinful humanity, he can bring the two together. So, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you have on the inside of you Emmanuel. It's beautiful. And we all know Emmanuel means God is with us. And the most awesome part about that is that God is inside of you. Jesus brought our perfect God to live on the inside of every believer through his Holy Spirit. He came in right in the middle of your humanity. Amen? But because he understands your humanity, because he is fully man, and he can relate. He can relate to your struggles. He can relate to your pain, your insecurities, your failures, and your issues. Jesus can relate to them. He can take you and connect you and keep you connected with our loving Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Doesn't get any better than that. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you for your willingness to sacrifice your son on the cross, raised from the dead. And when we become children of God, you come and you live inside of us. You give us strength and encouragement. You're a mighty counselor. You're our friend. You're Lord and Savior. Thank you for your word, Father, that can give us direction, comfort, correction, discipline. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, that they're in this song of invitation, they would come down and pray. And Lord, maybe there's someone that would like to join our church for the first time. And we give it over to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.